my roommate and best friend, I think I can say their first name, Sam, they got their own car, and it was a Subaru, of course. And I vividly, like, the Subaru was red, you know, and it was a red Subaru. And I remember it being red and everything. And then one day when we were hanging out, their Subaru was black. And I was like, what happened to the red? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, your Subaru was red. And they're like, no, it's always been black. And I was like, no, it was red. And they're like, that's interesting, because I thought really hard about getting a red Subaru, but I got a black Subaru. And I was like, oh, okay. Wow. So I hopped timelines. Time is a PR stunt. Both Trey and Jenny have time blindness, but for different reasons. Jenny talks how ADHD affects her relationship with time and manifesting, and Trey talks about how her traumatic brain injuries and PTSD pretty much blows up any chance of being friends with time. Then we played up a healthy second course of simulation theory, the Mandela effect, and heart placement, believe it or not. Come dish with us on our second to last episode of the season.
Well, cheers, meow, meow.
Cheers, meow, meow.
We are shifting our recording schedule to accommodate. Jenny's got an awesome new job. We're so excited about that.
I'll be working with children. How exciting. How scary.
Yes. Scary? Are children scary for you?
They're dependents. Creatures of habit and non-habit and spontaneity,
so chaos.
Anything is bound to happen at any moment, at any point in time. So it is both enlightening and lifting, and also like, I'm gonna be faced with some situations, I'm sure, that I'll have great stories for later, but in the moment will really suck to deal with. But I think overall it's gonna be really good for me. I remember when we were hanging out one time, we shifted from. When you and I were hanging out, we shifted from a book cafe to an ice cream shop. And the book cafe had bad vibes,
but bad then the vibes.
Ice cream shop, yeah, really bad vibes. But then the ice cream shop had a child in it who was running around, and you're like, children just clear the energy, you know, and you're like, and people don't ever think about the down there energy, like the below waist level energy of the world, you know, and children just clear that out.
Children and animals, you know, mm-hmm. Like even turtles can do it, even if they're moving a little slow. Yeah, they clear all that fun stuff. Yeah, we made the right choice there to get out of that, because mm-hmm. it was not only a lot of bad 3D energy, but it felt like a portal, and it felt like it was pulling in bad energy from like as many places as it possibly could. Yeah. It's like, what? How is this place still here? This is horrible. And yet people come here. All right.
And then they just moved, like just down the street.
Like, is it better? Have you been?
I haven't been in the new one yet, no.
All right. I'll be very curious to see if it was the location, or if it was the, like, the concept of the store, if it goes with it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You never know when you run into pockets of magic and, you know, and energy. So that was like a portal thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, being able to like try to shake it off or reorient yourself. Almost everybody I know right now is having a hard time orienting themselves. Like, time isn't working right. Location isn't working right. Mm. 2 days in a row, I went to the wrong place that I was supposed to be for something. Mm-hmm. And like that very rarely happens to me, because I'm always lost. And I mean that sincerely. I am always lost. So when people say, what's the best invention ever? And I'm like, fire, bread, heck no, GPS, people. Because I no longer, you know, and I'm very organized, because I have to be, because I can't track time, you know, so I have alarms for everything. And the fact that I got lost twice was so meaningful to me.
So off brand.
So lots of folks I know, it's not just that they're turning up in places that they didn't mean to turn up, but it's also, you know, time is like elongating for some people. Well, where they'll be hanging out, like hours will pass, but it felt like it was like 10 or 15 minutes, and, you know, or the reverse will happen. I've had some of those instances. Have you been experiencing any of this recently?
You know, it's hard to say because my routine has completely changed recently, and I went from just doing nothing day in and day out, which time was my worst enemy at that point because it was either too much of it or not enough of it at all times. But now I'm like leaning into a routine, and it's the first time in my life I've had this effective of a routine, and I've been sticking with it this much. And, you know, so many things culminated into it. But I was also learning for the past 2 weeks, you know, where I was going to a place and learning for 8 hours a day. And so, of course, time stretched for me. And of course, it felt longer those days because I absolutely hate learning. So I'm like, I don't trust my data, you know, like I need more time.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Yeah. For some of us, like schedules are super vital. And for others of us, a schedule actually kind of interferes with, you know, I don't know, just moving through the world. I don't know. Time is just funky. And I'm so glad that that's the thing that we're going to be talking about today. Like the effective deployment of time can really be this amazing organizing force that makes you feel like, you know, like, oh, good, I'm in control of things. I'm getting the things done that I need to, and can be really grounding, I find. And then for, you know, other times, time just gets away. And suddenly we're in the midst of things that are being controlled by the universe. And by the universe, I mean science. I don't mean, you know, the supreme being, although sometimes it is.
Sometimes those are one and the same.
Sometimes it is. And why wouldn't it be one and the same? Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about timelines. So when you hear that, like, what does that make you think?
I don't know. I always think, I'm so sorry, this is about to come out of my mouth.
Do it. But like, Gwyneth Paltrow again makes an appearance.
No, it's much worse than that. I always think about Infinity War, the Marvel movie, I think it might be Endgame, where they're talking to bald Tilda Swinton about having to get the time stone, and she goes on this rant about diverging timelines and how they split and stuff, in front of CGI Green Hulk. I guess he wasn't Hulk in the moment. And so I feel like that's always been my like brain placeholder for timelines, is just like there's multiple timelines happening at the same time, and we kind of hop between them freely, somewhat, and also understanding that time isn't linear. So everything that's ever happened to you and everything that will ever happen to you is kind of existing simultaneously. Yeah. And so there are ways to like bridge those gaps. But yeah, I would say that's pretty much the extent of my understanding.
Oh, that's fantastic. So a couple things in there. So that's like the entire storyline of the Loki series, is that he's pulled into the, I forget what it's called, the TVA, and they're all about the timelines and the pruning and the branching and the what have you. Which may or may not be a waste of Loki. but one of the things I did love about that show, to really demonstrate how this works, is you're not you on all of those timelines. You're a variation of yourself. So to go and hang out with Loki, and there's like the little kid Loki, there's the crocodile Loki, and there's the female Loki, and there's the Richard Grant Loki. You know, it shows you like all the variations that can happen. Still the same concept, you know, of who you are, because we all are in agreement at this point that we're not this personality. We're not this meat suit. We got a lot more going on. And yeah, we have a lot more going on in different realms. I remember getting into string theory, probably about 15 years ago, and just trying desperately to understand it. I think part of my problem was when I came to a lot of the spiritual stuff, I was coming at it from the science perspective.
Yeah.
And my brain is not a great science brain. But, you know, if you tell me some magical thing, like a friend of mine, she'd had a slow leak in her house and couldn't get a contractor to deal with it. And then when finally somebody comes out, they're like, oh, this is a really old part. We don't know how we're ever going to, we're going to have to gut the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and she's very magical. And 2 days later, like the leak just went away on its own. And I go, oh, it's your brownies. And she was like, oh my gosh, I think you're right. Like that I can roll with. Like I knew immediately that she had little Faye, you know, there to help her out because it shouldn't have been that difficult. And, you know, brownies are good at that kind of stuff. Now that doesn't have anything to do with timelines. That has more to do with like multi dimensions, which is what I sort of figured out what string theory is. Is it stacking of different dimensions. Although they said it was only like 7, but it turns out like it's infinite, y'all.
I was about to say, there's no way it's only 7.
I know. And how boring if it was only 7.
I know, for real.
Yikes. And then timelines. Here we are with timelines where, oh my gosh, like it can, timelines for me can change in the flow, which is why manifestation has always been, well, one of the reasons why manifestation has always been problematic for me. Is because the timeline will just suddenly shift and whatever it was that I was working towards just like blows up. And sometimes I can feel it happening. And then I'll throw a tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah. You have really like awful luck with timelines sometimes.
Awful luck with
where it's like the things shift and you were just so attached to that certain timeline. And then it's like insane jet lag getting used to that second timeline. Whereas like for me, when I'm manifesting things, I have a wonderful time manifesting things for other people. But like anytime I try and manifest things for myself, everything's just like, no, not yet. Like you're on the path. You'll get there. But like not for you right now. Like, oh my gosh, the amount of times I tried to get a job. But then when the thing happens or when the shift happens, because of how awful I am at manifesting or working towards those shifts, as soon as they happen, I'm like, oh, okay, this is the reality now. I'm cool with it. I can live with this. I'll make it work, you know?
Oh, that's fantastic. So, which is why I think you're going to be so great at the job that you're doing, because I think like kids are in that space and I feel like, you know, you have access to that space pretty easily. So you're going to be great at just kind of rolling with it.
Ah, thank you.
Yay. Can't wait to see how much you love it now that you're past your training and going in. That's all.
Yeah. Yep.
So time is, so there's divine timing. You were just talking about, you know, this idea that, there are things that we know are meant to be ours because it just resonates with us. You know, like it's just in our heart. It's just in our soul. We just know that this is our thing. And then every time we reach for it, like it doesn't happen. It doesn't come true. Right. And then there's the big battle of like, did I screw it up? Like, did my trauma attract the wrong blah, blah, blah? Is there past life, you know, energies? Is there foreign energies in my space that are coming in and messing with me? Is it divine timing that, you know, it's yours, but not right now, not yet. And that kind of, that drives me a little bit batty. I don't, cause it's just another, you know, looping session in my head.
Yeah.
So to me, the only answer is honestly is to ignore all time and just be here now and say to heck with it all.
Well, and I think that brings up a really good point of like why grounding is effective. And I know we've talked about grounding a lot, but people never take the time consideration of grounding into effect and how much it can adjust your current perception of time. Because like, I don't know if you've heard the thing about dogs, but there's science to show that dogs can speed up time for themselves and that they will.
What?
Yeah. So that they can stare at walls. And I don't have the science, so I might be just completely talking out of my butt, but I've known this for a while, that when they're alone, they can speed up time for themselves by staring at walls or by doing other things. And that's usually what dogs are up to when we're not home, is them just laying low energy just to speed up time for themselves before they get to see you again.
Oh, I love that. That makes me less sad when,
I'm sure they don't love doing it, but yeah.
And then I wonder like, you know, like how taxing that is for them or if it's just part of their, you know, their natural capacity or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably natural capacity because like I know for me with ADHD, time blindness is a real thing. You know, when they're talking about how, like, this is real science that I have the stuff behind, but talking about how people who have ADHD have zero concept of future time and only have the concept of current time. And so the reason that we procrastinate is because the only thing that exists for us is the thing that's here now, that's in the present. And so the only way to get things done is for it to be presently needing to be done, and that any future events are just, they're gone to us. It doesn't exist. And I know that there's very much times where, depending on what I'm doing, I can like zone out to the point that time will start speeding up for me a little bit. And I can just be in a room for a couple hours, and it won't feel like a couple hours until I start thinking about how long it's been, you know?
Fascinating. See, I always thought that was just like, I'm daydreaming. And because that's how I managed the first, I would say, 13 years of my life. Like, how do I get out of here? How do I disassociate? And daydreaming. I could blink myself out of that space and not have to experience it moment by moment. And then TV came in and I was like, excellent. This will do it for me.
This is perfect.
Time blindness. What a great phrase. And I didn't realize that that was, and that, by the way, that was just a tremendous explanation of how procrastination works for people with ADHD.
Yeah. As it turns out, it's science. It's not our fault.
Yeah. So how does the past work for you?
I don't know, because the reality is this past is obviously connected to memory. And I have ADHD, I have depression, I have bipolar. I smoked marijuana for 6 years of my life pretty consistently. And all of those are known with memory loss. So like, you know, unless last week was a really significant week for me, I will probably forget the majority of like the things that happened last week. But then when it comes to conversations that I have with people, I will remember them word for word for sometimes.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's just like my concept of past time doesn't exist as much until it gets past a certain point. So I would say like I have probably a 3 week buffer period before I can absolutely reflect on a period of time and say what the heck happened in that period of time. If it was within the past 3 weeks, I'm just like, you know, unless something crazy happened. Like for me, I know what happened last week because I was back in school again and I was like, this is a culture shock for me. But even then, like the specifics of learning and the things that I learned, if I don't use proper tools to maintain that memory, it'll be gone. That's it. Like it's done. That's all I had for it. And so, yeah, learning is very difficult for me because of that.
Right. Oh, that's so interesting. So I do a lot of the same things as you, but it's coming from a different place. I think for me, it's more trauma-based and it's traumatic brain injury. I have lost my capacity to track time. It literally just means nothing to me. I have to set alarms for everything. And I've been this way just as long as I can remember. So I got my first concussion, I think, like the third or the fourth grade, which is probably where it really set in. So my relationship with time has always been fraught. Mm-hmm. And I've had to figure out all of these workarounds so that I could perform the way that this material world needed me to perform, even though it's not my nature at all. So I love it when I meet other people who also have a very loose relationship with time, but also space, you know. Which we'll talk about at another time. Like that's the multidimensional thing. We'll come back around mm-hmm. to that. And for a long time, I thought that it was the trauma disassociation that had, catapulted me out of it. But I think, I'm going to, for just for fun, I'm going to go ahead and say it's because I came into this world with a certain amount of knowledge of the universe, but had no validation, was not seeing it mirrored except in, you know, sci-fi and fantasy.
Yep.
So having to, especially as a Gen Xer, like having to build my way up to what I knew when I came in has been really frustrating. And I'm so excited for your generation, because I do feel like the association with time, it's like more people understand that not everybody has a locked in version of the same sense of time. Would you say that's fair?
Yes. And I would say that there's a good number of things contributing to that for my generation. I think social media is a huge one, because it is a huge time vortex and can just suck up time, you know, and is a really great way and a really awful way to distort time for yourself. But also, like, you know, I was very much the same way, where it's like I came into this world knowing a lot about the energies of this world and just the energies of people. And mine's very people oriented. And so, like, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, when something's supposed to happen for you. I don't know events that are supposed to happen for me, unless it's like every so often there will be an event where I was like, darn, this was for me. I knew it, but I just missed it. But I will know people. I will always, always, always know people. And it's kind of asparagus, but like, if I know somebody's supposed to be in my life, I will know it within the first few minutes of talking to them.
Nice.
But like, yeah, I've always struggled with time. I've always struggled being here in the meat suit and being present for it. School life was awful for me. And I know I'm not the only one, just because so many of us are neurodivergent and so many of us are mentally changed and mentally traumatized, that more and more of my generation and then the newer generations coming up, this world just wasn't meant for them. Like, this world wasn't built with them in mind, you know? Yeah. And so, of course, we feel detached from it, and time has a huge part of that.
So I was watching a documentary. By the way, I just love that phrase, mentally changed. Oh, that's so great. I love the way you talk. It's so good. It's so good. I was watching a documentary that was talking about how the concept of time had always just been, you know, sun up, sun down. Because mm-hmm. that's the light that you had available to you prior to the Industrial Revolution and electricity. So really, you know, it's electricity that's screwed everything up. Because once factories started getting created and people started leaving the land and started congregating around, you know, I'm just going to call it the you know, industries. Industries needed ways to track productivity. So in a sense, time was invented. Mm-hmm. So they would be able to say, you know, you have hit your quota of X amount of blah, 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 because you produce 10 things in a half an hour, whatever the deal is, right? And humans for the last 150 years have been breaking ourselves to try to fit into this, you know, 8 to 5 scenario, because it's just not natural to us. And even now I hear so many people really struggling with the daylight saving thing, which was not mm-hmm. changed for farmers. I forget what the real thing is, but like that's an old wives' tale.
It's not about farmers. That's so
no, it's not. It's about bankers. And like, I should go look this up, but like,
of course
it was bankers. A corporation. It was a company that came in and invented this thing because it was a PR stunt, people. It's not real.
It's terrible news. It really
is. But look at how successful it was. Now everybody hates it. Good job. Way to go. So humans were never supposed to be, you know, on these regimented things. So it's actually more natural to be disassociated from time mm-hmm. and to have a looser relationship with time than it is to be like, but that said, I also know people who, like my friends with OCD, like they love a schedule. They love like, you know, hitting their timelines during the day. You know, to-do lists is just another way to sort of track time and productivity. And, you know, and I'm not throwing any shade on that. It takes all kinds, but a long time ago, it was just folks hanging out and being like, okay, like the things that need to get done today is I need water and I need food and I need to make sure that, you know, I don't get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or whatever.
Yeah.
And when the sun goes down, I go to sleep. So we've made things unbelievably complicated for ourselves. And then on top of that, we have this increased or decreased, I don't know, but I feel like there's more and more sensitivity to the different timelines that are at play. Have you ever heard increased. Of the Mandela effect?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes. Okay. What do you know about the Mandela effect?
So I know, now I know it's specifically about hopping timelines, but there's so many wonderful examples of the Mandela effect. I think the most potent and palpable for most of us is the Berenstain Bears, if you know about that. So there's the book series, The Berenstain Bears. And all of us remember it being spelled a certain way, but it was actually spelled another way the entire time. It was, and it's Berenstain versus Berenstain. And I don't remember which it is now, because I've existed with both for so long that I don't remember which one was supposed to be the original. But my example of the Mandela effect, which is also my example of when I hopped timelines, is my roommate and best friend. I think I can say their first name, Sam. They got their own car, and it was a Subaru, of course. And I vividly, like, the Subaru was red, you know, and it was a red Subaru. And I remember it being red and everything. And then one day when we were hanging out, their Subaru was black. And I was like, what happened to the red? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, your Subaru was red. And they're like, no, it's always been black. And I was like, no, it was red. And they're like, that's interesting, because I thought really hard about getting a red Subaru, but I got a black Subaru. And I was like, oh, okay. Wow. So I've hopped timelines.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that you were psychically able to connect to what they were doing for themselves, it sounds like.
Basically, like, the Mandela effect is just the world gaslighting you.
That's right. That's right.
It's exactly what it is, where you're like, no, this is this way. And then the world's like, right. Nah, the fan, that's not how it was.
So I had this amazing conversation with, hey, previous guest, Melissa Coons. And we were talking about the Mandela effect. So here's another couple examples. So for you, is your heart in the center of your chest, or is it on the left side?
I don't know. I've never thought about this.
So there are some people who the heart is centered in the middle of their chest, and for others, for me, for example, it's on the left-hand side. So that's an example of two different timelines that are working at the exact same time, which kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Interesting.
Another one. Do you remember Nelson Mandela?
Yeah.
Okay. So for you, and I'm not expecting you, because this is very much like a Gen X thing. So he was imprisoned in South Africa because he confronted, you know, the apartheid regiment. And he was in prison for like decades, y'all, decades. And he became, you know, a true hero. And for some people, Nelson Mandela died in prison. And then for some people, he got out and became president, the first black president of his own country. So which is in your memory, if either? I don't know if you tracked
it. Neither, but this is how I knew about the Mandela effect.
Okay.
Was because I had a teacher explaining it to us, and explaining how she remembered Nelson Mandela dying. I think I was too young to know, but I know of this famous Mandela effect, the namesake of the Mandela effect.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah. So for me, he got out and he became president, and his wife also became politically involved. And there was like a whole, a political, the word regime comes in, but y'all, that's the opposite of what Nelson was doing over there. But like for Melissa, Nelson died in prison. So in that regard, her and my timelines are different. What's the other big one?
Are you and Melissa's hearts in different spots?
No, ours are in the same spot, but she knows people, especially younger people, who have it in the center. And her theory, if I can speak on behalf of, hopefully she'll be okay with this. So her theory is that increasingly we have had non-humans joining us on this planet, but in the form of humans. Mm. So I have friends who are fae, but they mm-hmm. are running around like humans. I have friends who are aliens, but they are having a human existence, but they're also aware that they're actually, you know, a non-Earth entity, and their hearts are in the middle. So
interesting.
Yeah. So her theory is that it's a biological identifier based on species, but for other people, it's like, well, no, it's, there was a timeline shift around 2000 where I'm considered Gen X. I'm considered part of the OG timeline is what they call it, the old timeline. And then the other folks who do register that there is this center thing is from the new timeline. But it doesn't mean that we're not all coexisting at the same time, which is really interesting to me. I am utterly fascinated that in a few years we're going to know, because right now, y'all, the timelines are bananas. It is mm-hmm. November 2024 and timelines are bananas, to the point where this whole year I have just checked out because I can't see it. And I used to be able to see things a lot. I used to be able to have some influence over where and what things were happening. And again, it's like, oh, is it my spirit guides coming in and, you know, slowing things down for me, or is it just I've stopped trying to participate because it's chaos? It's just bananas.
I feel like just with how many shifts happened this year and how chaotic all the timelines are and tumultuous, I feel like it's got to be just like you can't keep up anymore and it's too much to try and keep up with, so why even bother at this point?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because we're living in multiple realities already, mm-hmm. and some of it is just like screen realities, but it's also keeping track of people's screen identities versus who you know in real life. So there's also like there's layers upon layers upon layers of identity going on, which is a lot to manage as well. Yeah, it's just a lot, but apparently, like, we're here for it, right? Like, so mm-hmm. so even though they're saying, like, it's breaking your children's brains, I actually think that their brains are the ones who are able to deal with the multi-ness of what's happening.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would agree, because it ties back into what you're saying about being disconnected from this plane of existence, you know, and from this reality. And I was always under the impression that if simulation theory is real, which I mean, it is and it isn't, but like in terms of this simulation, that it would truly break when we could create simulated reality that mimics identically our reality, and we wouldn't be able to differentiate between the two of them. And so then the things would break, and then that would be it, you know?
But explain simulation theory first.
Well, and it's really funny because the movie I watched last night also talked about simulation theory.
Glitch in the Matrix?
It was a horror movie, but he brought up simulation theory. Basically, there's the simulation theory that people believe mainstream, and then what I understand simulation theory to be. The mainstream is that we're living in some sort of simulation, you know, whether that be the Matrix or whatever it is, that this isn't actually the real reality. What I understand it now is it is a simulation, but not in the sense that the Matrix is talking about. It's all about quantum physics and quantum particles and how we and our perception of quantum physics and those our perception of those particles changes how they are, you know, and so that the way we perceive reality is the way reality is. And the best example for this is a chameleon, because chameleons can see in ultraviolet. And so we as humans have no capability of understanding what a chameleon's reality looks like, because we don't see the same things that they see. And so chameleons can see things completely different than the rest of us can. And they're living in a completely separate reality than we are right now. And it's really interesting to think about that. And that also ties into projection of, you know, if you start projecting your own reality, the reality simulation will start feeding that back to you, you know, and so then you're thusly changing reality.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. So the version I had heard is slightly different. It's more conspiracy theory based. I'm always down for conspiracy theory, but that was science, folks. That there is provable. So I watched a documentary called Glitch in the Matrix, and this kind of tracks back to the movie The Matrix, which talked about glitches. If anybody has seen, well, I'm assuming everybody who listens to us has seen The Matrix.
Hopefully.
And if not, like, yay, go have some fun. There's this black cat that keeps turning up. And whenever the black cat repeats the same movements, it means that that part of the Matrix has been hacked by the machines. And like, it's time to go, folks. So what these folks who were interviewed, and this gets kind of depressing, but bear with me. They would not put their human selves up. They would put like an avatar, like a gaming avatar up there. Because form follows function. So their idea of simulation theory is literally that we are in a computer game, that the Matrix is literal, that there's one guy was like, you know, my worst fear is that I break out of the Matrix and I find out there's some 12-year-old gamer who's been playing me all this time. So not knowing who is controlling the game, but that it is just a computer generated game, and that our technology and our understanding of technology finally caught up with what was happening. So now we're starting to be able to see through the presentation because mm-hmm. we get it now. So go watch this documentary. It's really interesting. And it talks a lot about Philip K. Dick and a lot of his work, who's one of my all-time favorite writers. Of course, right? Because he was the first one. Well, not the first one, but he was somebody who admitted in public that he was having these glitches and that he was shifting timelines. And everything he ever wrote was very meta. Yeah, which opened up this whole amazing subgenre of sci-fi. Bill Gibson, he was kind of one of the chargers of this necromancer and stuff like that. Anyway, okay, stop fanning out. So my dad, who for all intents and purposes was pretty batty, but this was one of his theories was... you know, that there's lots and lots and lots of versions of Earth, and that it's a game, that it's a science experiment, and that there are people who are testing it and they're looking for certain markers. And when we fail, either we kill ourselves, because there are versions where nuclear war did happen, y'all. We happen to be on the timeline where the nukes didn't get dropped. So my 12 or 13-year-old self, who was sitting up until midnight on that one particular night because I knew that was the night that if the nukes were going to drop, it was that night. And I wanted to be awake to see it. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, and I didn't have the terminology at that point, but then I understood like, okay, that's the timeline that we're on now. But there was a version where the nukes did drop. How about mm-hmm. them apples? So this is a mishmash. Sorry, my brain does this sometimes, but
it's okay. I'm
letting me
up.
Tangent can both be fun and frustrating. So the theory is that somewhere around 2000 is when a lot of people started becoming aware of the concept of simulation theory, which is not that different from the idea that we created using consciousness, you know, energy. That we created these lives for ourselves. And everybody's always saying like, you create your own reality. And on the simplest version of that, you guys, it's literally just, well, what's your attitude? Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, if you're really angry or sad or cynical or in a victim mindset, then it's really hard to ever reach any kind of joy. And that's just pure emotional ride. But then if you extend that into the energetic place, that if you are mired in a lot of dense energy, it's going to bring your emotions down, but it's hard to get up and out of that dense energy. And then once you do, like, you stop being angry, you stop being cynical, you stop having a victim mindset. But when you have trauma, like, it's really, 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 really hard, like, because your brain has been broken to sit in that density. And that's one of the big things that's starting to get healed right now on this particular timeline. And if that's your jam, and if you want to get some of that, you know, trauma out, some of that karma out, now is the time to do it, because the timelines are going all over the place, and you can kind of hop up and up and up so that you can shed the trauma, shed the PTSD, shed the karma, and shed the sad. And there you go. That was it. That's what I have to say.
That's beautiful. And I'm, you know, in terms of the quantum physics side of simulation theory, first of all, the science is there. Like, this is basically provable. Second, it is still fun to think about, is it intentional or is it not intentional in terms of who is running this, what is running this, what's the show actually that's going on here? But regardless, I think we can all agree that things are so fluid right now and so malleable that people have a lot more choice in their hands than they ever thought before, you know, and it ties back into the butterfly effect really nicely, where it's like, well, how...
I knew Ashton Kutcher was going to get brought up today.
No, I wasn't even thinking about Ashton. I was thinking about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, that's terrifying.
The sliding doors. But like, you know, if you're coming into your day angry versus coming into it relaxed, what different choices are you going to be making throughout the day based on those emotions, and how are those choices going to shift? Well, then, okay, that's how we can control it on our level, right? But then if you also think about like the election, for example, and how there's two realities, the one where Donald Trump won and the one where he didn't win, you know, and
then variations of what happened after he won.
Yes.
Because I'm not in the same one as a lot of other people are.
Yes. And, you know, obviously, whether or not Trump does or doesn't win isn't something that you and I can influence that much.
Yeah.
So that's a timeline that's out of our control. But the question is, whose control is it under? Is it under, you know, is it because Kamala didn't drink coffee one day and then she
that's
lost
exactly
the entire...
it. How did you know?
I knew it.
It's Starbucks' fault.
But like, you know, the idea that our society is in itself a simulation, you know, and that, you know, the economy is made up, time is made up, all of this,
yeah, money
is simulated.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also am completely disassociated from money as well as space and time. So yay me. Winner.
But like, people made this simulated reality of society, and that simulation imparted effects on the quantum physics simulation and started changing things. And so then other people are in charge of the meat suit simulation, which then changes the quantum physics simulation, and back and forth and back and forth. I still am of the theory that there isn't necessarily a big game going on. I'm of the theory that the simulation itself isn't made, but like quantum physics wasn't a choice on someone's end, but it is more a natural side effect of the world that we live in, and all of these astral beings are getting in on it, and it is leading towards something now. Where it's like, okay, now things are progressing in a certain way, that push and pull between meat suit simulation and spiritual simulation are becoming so volatile and so back and forth that everything's fair game now, and everything's up for grabs.
That's
and
right.
None of us know what's going to happen, including some of the celestials.
That's right.
Get your crap together. You know. Hop to a better timeline. Get yourself fixed.
Hop to a better timeline. Oh my God. Okay. So, and that is where we're going to wrap this up. But like, I have a couple other things that I wanted to throw into the mix.
Yes, do it.
A really exciting conversation for me. You know, anybody who's been reading sci-fi since they were kids, like, this is your jam. Like, we have been primed for this our whole lives to, you know, not only the concept of like the apocalypse, but also the concept of the anti-apocalypse, you know, like how, you know, portals, like how do we exert the control that we ought to have, and where does the control come from? And then how do we make things better for ourselves? Okay. So there's like four things in my head. Pick one. I'm going to talk about Schumann Residence. I'm going to talk about Nancy Rebecca, and I'm going to talk about Pam Grigory. And I'm going to talk about Elizabeth April. So for the folks who track some of these outlier thinkers, and they're becoming less and less outlier because more and more people are starting to listen to this and be like, oh, wait, hey, that explains things that I've been experiencing. And it's not just me, but it's actually people who've been studying it and are reporting on it. And there's a lot of other people who, you know, are right there or having an adjacent experience. So the Schumann resonance, I am not qualified to speak of it. It's too sciencey for me, but it is the Earth's frequency. Sometimes it's called the heartbeat of the Earth. It's an actual frequency. I think it's 7.82 hertz. So for those who, we have talked about like sound, the power of sound on a different podcast. So you can go back to that or, hey, jump on YouTube because it's everywhere. Sound 1000% has the power to change. Same as like a physical, like lifting up a pencil, like sound can do the same darn thing, but it can do a lot more than that. So the frequency that surrounds the Earth is, it has to do with the electromagnetic fields. So we are like, we're on the planet. I think we think of ourselves as like, you know, little ants, like being on the planet, but like the planet is more than just the physical ground. It's also these layers of energy around it, like an electromagnetic field, magnetic field. And people have been paying attention to how the magnetic, like the poles are shifting, y'all. And it does it like, you know, there's science that says that it's happened before, it's happening now. And so like north is not exactly north anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is provable that airplane radar, they have had to keep nudging their electronic radar to true north because it's been shifting. And if they didn't shift it, the electronic version of true north planes would be crashing into each other because mm-hmm. they're following different norths. So how does that affect human beings? Well, one of the way it affects human beings is migraines, dizziness, fatigue, because some of us just feel it more than others. Holy, like I had three huge monster migraines in November, which was a big time when all of these different energy and time things, you know, were all, hopping around. Mm-hmm. So the more you ground yourself into your human existence, the easier it's going to be to sort of process this stuff. But if these are some of your experiences, also other people have been reporting like literally like the black cat glitch happening in their lives. They're talking about conversation, like, you know, the red car versus the black car. Tons of people are reporting conversations that they just had. And then the other person was like, wait, what are we talking about? Like, no, I didn't say that. So everything is just chaotic, which I find both thrilling and really frustrating because I am in a place of I don't have a schedule, you know, I don't have a job that I wake up and go to. I designed it that way, but now I'm like, wow, I'm just kind of floating around. So being able to watch the Schumann resonance and how it's affecting the timelines, which is, I think, the place that I'm trying to get us back to is talking about just more science kind of going into this. So Elizabeth April, she's the furthest on the continuum of like, hey, the science of astrology. Guess what, guys? Astrology is a science. Did you know that until 1860, I think it was, that doctors were required to learn astrology because your astrological makeup denotes certain health issues that you're going to struggle with. So if the doctor could look at your chart, they'd be like, oh, you've got lung issues. Okay, this is going to be a thing for you for your whole life. So let's start dealing with it now. And then once again, you know, an organized version of doctors came in and said, well, you know, let's kick that piece out because it's, you know, it's too intuition. It's too weird. It's too, I don't know what the reason was, but they got rid of astrology from what was normally and naturally a part of human understanding of the universe.
Wow.
So we've only been without astrology for 100 years, you guys.
Wow.
And it's coming back with a bang. Okay, so Elizabeth April, she's not an astrologer. She is a channeler. She remote views the Galactic Federation. She goes and remote views like the reptilian aliens. So she's got the jam on the different critters that are, you know, it's a war between good and evil. And we're in it. And mm-hmm. some of us are on the light worker side, and some of us are kind of falling into the darker and darker morass. And the task now, because all the light beings are here, this is not about time. Well, it's about time in the sense that we've been working towards this for, you know, I don't know, millions of years. Mm-hmm. Our job is to help encourage people to, you know, get light, to let go of the heaviness, let go of the density. But first we have to save ourselves, which explains the timeline jumping that's happening right now. Okay. With that, I am complete. Will you explain what you understand about timeline jumping?
Yeah. Well, okay. Hold on. A lot to unpack there.
That was a lot. Yeah. Aliens. Aliens are among us.
I feel like I'm noticing this shift in my relationships right now where, because of how much healing I'm doing, I am becoming so focused on healing. And that if people in my life aren't actively doing that for themselves or on that path, I can't have them in my life.
Yep.
And regardless of if they're a good or a bad person or not, it stopped being about that. And it started being about, what are you trying to vibrate at and what are you trying to do? And it seems really, really crappy and really selfish. But I feel like when you put it into that perspective, the reality is things are happening now. We're coming to heads and we're coming to penultimate turns. And the timelines are shifting so rapidly that if you don't have a good handle on yourself, you have the opportunity to completely lose everything and lose the path, you know, and completely shift paths.
Which is fine. Like, yes. It's okay. It just means you have to come back and go through the morass again until you connect to it. Yeah. Some of us want to skip that.
Well, and like, you know, it's okay if that's your path, but like, because that's not my path, but because I'm so new to having that not be my path, it feels like I can get pulled into it easier, you know, and I have risk of getting pulled back into the complacency of it, even though mentally I don't really have that risk, which is why the filtering is happening. And so I feel like understanding, you know, consciousness shifts, and the consciousness shifts you were trying to go under plays directly into your timeline shifting. Where are you trying to work towards something mentally? Are you trying to work towards something physically? And what is that? What steps have you been taking? How have you been going on that path? And of course, that journey is a lot more played out over time. Like, it's not just going to happen over months. Like, it takes years and years and years to make these shifts happen. But as long as you are on those paths to making those shifts happen, they will. But if you've stopped, then you've relinquished control. And when you've relinquished control, you've lost, essentially. You know, and how can we best regain our footing in our lives and ourselves, regain our footing with what's going on? That plays directly into, are you in control of these timeline hops or are you not in control of them? You know, are you aware of you shifting timelines? And so I think that's really, really important to check in with yourselves. And also, part of the reason I had to get sober is because I needed to start remembering my dreams, because I think my dreams exactly tell me when I'm shifting timelines. Like, I will have really strange dreams and then wake up the next day and be like, oh my gosh, this reality feels completely different. You know, what prompted this? Where am I right now? Like, what's going on?
Okay, we have to do an episode about dreams and like all the shenanigans that are happening in dreams or in sleep time. Yes.
I need more time for that one, but yes. but yeah, I don't know. This is just, I just think it's really important that everybody take inventory and just be aware, because regardless of if some higher power is or is not in control of this simulation, there is still the fight happening. The war between good and evil, the war between light and dark is absolutely currently going on. And it is less about malicious intent in some ways and more just about internal intent, if that makes sense, right? You know? And I think that's how the war has shifted, is hope versus non-hope, you know? And people say hope is a dangerous thing, but the reality is,
what? Who says that? That's crazy.
Crappy
it's
movies.
Everything. It's all there is.
It's all you have. Like, you have to maintain hope and you have to hold on to it as much as you can, Because the second you start allowing yourself to let go of that, the second this life is going to shift for you.
Yep. Yeah. And when you are in a triggered state, which mm-hmm. by the way, I feel like after November 5th, the entire nation and even parts of the world all went into a triggered state. I don't care which side, you know, who you voted for, everybody got triggered by it. And then, you know, we've talked about this before. It's like, then you have to recognize that you're triggered and mm-hmm. then you have to figure out if you have the tools to get yourself out of being triggered. I mean, I've spent 15 years trying to get PTSD and CPTSD out of my daily reality. And amazingly I've gotten there. And that's kind of my mission, is to try to help other people, because when you have trauma, that negativity is hard boiled in you in a way. It's hardwired in you in a way that it's not for quote unquote normal human beings. It's way, way, way harder to be like, oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm going to go walk in a field of daisies and I'm going to mm-hmm. sing Walking on Sunshine and I'll be just fine. Like, it just doesn't work that way for people with trauma. But it's unfortunately the same exact steps that you still have to figure out. It's just harder for you to get up over it. A lot of what I did initially when I started learning these things, but I couldn't believe in them. My trauma would not let me, you know, it was still 100% looking to burn the world down. But then I was starting to hear these things. And so I would do them, even though I didn't believe in them. Mm-hmm. So fake it yeah. till you make it. And I feel like that's kind of the thing with the timeline shift, is, you know, there are meditations on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, or you can just make it up for yourself. You know, put yourself in a meditation and simply make the declaration as clearly as you possibly can. The timeline that I want to be on is the one where I have safety, I have good health, I have security, I have seniority over my choices, that there is equal rights and there is harmony amongst everybody on the planet, that people who have been marginalized and oppressed are out of those power structures, and that we all rise up to being, you know, our best, I hate that phrase, be your best possible self, but that's kind of what it is, like to exist in the light. And just keep doing it. Do it for a couple of weeks, just to let the universe know that you're serious about it. So even if you can't feel it in your heart, because trauma, because yeah. sadness, because depression, just keep doing it, because the universe is going to hear you and it's going to be like, cool, we're going to put you up at this other timeline. And I'm at a point now where I do believe that I'm on a different timeline, and yes. that, in the next year, I'll know whether or not I quote unquote did it right. If there's a wrong or,
right. I mean, a couple things with that. First, like, I am very much so, you know, I identify as a healer, and like, there's so many different forms of healing. And what I've come to understand about myself is the type of healer that I am is a spiritual healer, but it's like a karmic energetic healer. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, when Mel made that comment about how she knows that when she is on the, like, sorry, when she enters in someone's life, she marks a shift for them. I know that when I'm in somebody's life, I'm a litmus test for them, where mm-hmm. if you and I get along, if you and I are good, then you are on the path for yourself and you're on the right path. And if not, then it's not going to work out. And like, I can look at other people and say, yeah, you're on the path you need to be on, like the best version of this path right now. And me being in your life is kind of proof of that. Even though that's kind of a toot your own horn kind of thing, it's more just about, I live and breathe function and I live and breathe betterment, even though I struggle with it myself, that if you can't cope with that, then it's not, it's not going to work, you know?
And that's okay. Like you know, yeah. You go do your thing, but like also don't mess with my thing.
Yeah. And I think the key in terms of the internal side of it, in terms of the choice, is unfortunately the want, and that no matter what you're going through, you are not going to maintain this control until you want it. And you have to want it. You know, it's just the same as addiction, even though addiction is a horrible uphill battle and it is not anybody's fault. It is a physical ailment. The only way to get through it is to want to get through it. And at a certain point, you shift between not wanting to and wanting to, you know, yeah. And the only way that battle's ever going to be won is to continue to go on it. And the only way you're going to continue to go on it is to want it. And so I just pose to people out there who are listening to this, ask yourself, do you want it? You know, and if you don't want it, why not? You know, and maybe the answer is because I'm exhausted, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm kind of done. That's okay. I hear you and I get it.
And there are a lot of souls leaving right now. Like yeah. In the last few years, there's been a lot of people who are like, oh man, I am not down for what's coming. And that's totally fine. No judgment.
Yeah. And I'm not ever like, of course help exists. And of course you should stay here and like, please, you know, consider all options before choosing an exit point. Like I'm not at all encouraging people to do that. I'm just saying like, if you're staying, then stay, you know, and try and find that want and understand that want will come from you. And it will help you shift these timelines to a better yeah. one.
And even if you can't like emotionally invest in the want, that's okay. And I also think that we should clarify that we're not saying that like, you know, oh, you can't stop drinking because you don't want it enough. It's like, no, the want is the place where you start to get yes. the help, where you go out and you find the resources that are going to, you know, help make your want turn into a physical manifestation. And then yes. the want comes and goes and it comes and goes and it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Just like with PTSD, right? Because you never know what's going to trigger you. So you may be in remission. You might have done the work and then all of a sudden everything explodes again. But to recognize that if you know that it's possible out there somewhere to not be driven by the biological, whatever we want to call them, that's the want. That's all we're saying.
Yes.
And then to start. And for me, it was slow, you guys. It took years to get to. And that's another episode that we can talk about. But I never stopped being on the path of this is either going to kill me or I'm just going to have to keep showing up at these different places that people tell me will help me with my PTSD. And then finally it started to shift. And I feel like that happens a lot with people with addiction, you know, mm-hmm. that you can fall back into it over and over again. And you haven't done anything wrong. And I'm not going to say it's divine timing. You're not healed because like God doesn't want you healed yet. I think that's horrible to say. It's a horrible thought. But that is the path, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that the higher the timeline you can step into, the easier it will be for you to get to connect to the want, whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
I don't know if, well, no, I won't say that. I'll stop there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree. And in no way am I saying like that it is just an easy shift to deal with addiction or to deal with timeline shifting. But it has to come from an internal desire to understand that you don't have to stay in the mud your whole life, you yep. know, and what that looks like. And it takes time. And people always say, well, relapse is part of the healing journey of addiction. And as an addict, I can absolutely agree. And, you know, it just takes time. But
isn't that funny? It just takes time. And now we're like, but the time, it's so weird. It's so funky.
The time isn't real.
Will I have the time to get the things done that I want to? I don't know, maybe. But like time's going to pass anyway. So yeah, might as well.
You might as well. And as the more time you sit with yourself in it, the more time you muscle through it with yourself, the more self-love you gain by doing that, you know, and the more you build that foundation. So just keep
that
in mind.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And I think that's a perfect stopping point. I feel like we covered way more than I think either of us thought we were going to, but obviously we had a lot to say. So
our trains always get derailed.
Channeled
the trains.
That's awesome. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for another episode. And I did use the wrong word last time. I said penultimate, which apparently means second to the last. So that's another timeline glitch. Jenny and I aren't stopping. We love this stuff.
Yeah,
so
we're still going.
We're going to stick with it, man. And whatever comes, we're going to be here yammering about it. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And as always, cheers, meow, meow.
Cheers, meow, meow.